What's up, fool? Thank you, Voodoo Glow Skulls, for doing the theme song for What's Up, Fool podcast. Check out their music at voodooglowskulls.com. Thank you guys for the song, man. Appreciate it, man. What's up, everybody? Felipe Esparza right here, chilling. Welcome to the first ever What's Up, Fool podcast. I'm bullshitting about a song like that. Welcome to the first ever What's Up, Fool podcast. Bienvenidos al el primer episodio de What's Up, Fool podcast. With myself, Felipe Esparza, and psychic Silent Bob, yeah, Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man.
What's up, fool? So we're chilling right here. It's one of my first series of the podcast where we just talk about how comedians kidnap other comedians, or not just comedians, but you've been around guys who just like kidnapping people. Like, all of a sudden, you're hanging out with some crazy guy, and you have no idea how you got there or how the hell you're going to leave. So we're chilling right here with, God damn, this fool brought a fucking memoirs and shit.
Bullet points. Man, I brought records.
This fool brought records, man. This fool has an agenda, man.
Man, I prepared for this podcast all week, man.
What's up, people? What's up, everybody? We're here with a comedian that I've known like for how long did I know him, Rodrigo?
Like 12 years, right?
Yeah, 12, 13 years. Well, let him answer, man. We're going to throw you in the mix right now, man.
This feels all no, man. No, but 13 years.
12. Just get your notes together, man. Yeah, man. This fool. The next comedian. I've known him since when this fool used to hang around with some other comedian, and I think he was a part of the Laugh Factory comedy camp. It's this program that Jimmy Masada from the Laugh Factory has for underprivileged kids, you know, who ain't got shit to do this weekend, so they got no dad or they got no big brother or they've been living in foster homes, and they get them together every summer and they teach them how to do comedy. Dane Cook, volunteers. I think there's a picture with Richard Pryor, right?
Yeah.
Richard Pryor there from the old days, and some of the comedians go on to be hacks, you know, but some of the comedians who come out of comedy camp have gone on to do good things, like Tiffany Haddish, who's a writer now, and she's been on the Arsenio Hall show. And some other motherfuckers, man. But we're here hanging out with a Mexican fool, man, who came out of the comedy camp of the Laugh Factory. What year did you graduate from comedy camp?
Oh, man. It was in 2001, man.
2001. Wow.
Okay.
You said you were, when you were a kid, you were living in a home?
No, I never lived in a home. Hell no. I lived in a mobile home. No.
a car, right? A station wagon?
Mobile home, yeah, man. No, so what happened is this kid I used to go to middle school with, he invited us to the YMCA in Pomona, right? That's when I was in, like, seventh grade. And he goes, hey, man, well, we're going to play ball. We're going to play ball at the YMCA. Why don't you come? And so I went, and for some reason, the older man that ran the program asked us to play without our shirts.
Ooh.
Yeah, and then we were all like 13.
Sandusky.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he was watching us play, and he made us take our shirts off. And then when we went into the locker room to get dressed again, he played this little game where he told us, all right, well, you know, you guys take off your underwear, and you're going to throw it on the hook, and if you catch it, you get a prize. Man, I was like, what the hell is going on?
How many times
did
you win?
I didn't win at all, bro. I missed. I just threw it on the floor.
How old were you, 8?
No, I was like about like 12 or 13 at the time. But you don't find it weird until you're like out of there. You're like, man, this fool just asked us to throw our underwear and hook it and get a prize. I wonder what the kid who hooked it got. I really do. And then I never went back after that. I just thought it was really weird, man.
How many times that happened?
Just that one time. After that, I was just like, I don't know, man.
Nobody talked about it. Nothing happened.
No
nothing
one.
Happened.
Like, everybody just probably shut up, you know? I mean, but God knows what happened. to other people.
You think that guy's still there? Should go fuck that up? Or
nah,
what?
He's old. He's old. Like, I'm sure he died now.
And what's up? Did anybody ever fucking win or what?
I don't know. I only went there once. So that just happened once. I didn't get to see everything.
The day you went, though, nobody won?
I didn't see. After I threw it and I missed, you walk out.
Yeah, right. That's when you get blindfolded and Vaselinized.
That fool said missed, got depressed, and left. But what were if they, all the kids took their underwear off, the bottom underwear, and threw it? And yeah. What was the hook?
The hook was like, it was like this thing where you hang your coat. Or, you know what I mean? In the locker rooms, there's a hook. And if it got stuck there, obviously, like he said, you get a prize.
Dog, were you trying to make it, though?
Hell no.
Nah. Don't lie, dog.
Oh, man.
How old were you when you started doing stand-up comedy?
I started when I was 16, like right when I was going to turn 7. The year that I turned 16, I started doing comedy.
Well, you didn't even have pimples or nothing, huh?
It looked the same, except fucking a little bit more facial hair, dog.
I just remember, like, anyway, so we're here with a guy that I've known for quite a while, and I met him when he was probably 18 years old at some comedy room called Casa Latina. Mm-hmm. And we used to hang around at Casa Latina with a show in Rosemead, and there used to be a lot of skanky-ass chicks there, man, a lot of chicks. But we used to hang out by the hallways. Like, there was this hallway on the way to the girls' restroom, you know, and it was wall to wall. But we used to get high, you know, and while everybody else is doing blow and making hits on other people. Cause it was nothing but drug dealers and real estate people.
The downfall of America.
The downfall of America was at this club, man. I mean, this club, like, at this comedy club, man, if you did a joke, anything referring to cocaine or narco music, people were laughing, man. Because I remember I did a show there one time, many times, and I said that, yeah, man, you guys don't know, man, this club turns into a quinceañera on weekends, man. Like, and during the day, they got paisas in the back, you know, crushing coca leaves with huaraches. And I always felt that... Who owned the place? An old lady, right?
It was this family, man. It was these two brothers and the mom. And they own outside of that business, they owned their own porta potty business.
Chapo owned that shit.
Porta potty.
No, but yeah, it was a family that owned it, and they were real successful at that place, man. It had like the highest paid budget in Los Angeles. It was like about $700 to pay out for the comedians.
I never thought dime. I don't think I ever saw more than $50, bro. Hey, man, I would see Ralphie May there, all happy and shit. That dude from Curb Enthusiasm, what's his name? JB Smooth, all happy. And I'm in the back over there waiting for a sack to come out of Ralphie May's belly. Oh, so we're chilling right here with Juan Garcia, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, everybody.
His nickname is Chepo, but if you try to Google, if you try to spell check his name, it spells out Cheapo. Have you noticed that, bro? When you try to write out your nickname, Chepo, it writes out Cheapo.
That's right.
That's crazy, man. That got nothing to do with you, though. So I've known this guy for, like, a while, man. Like, when I've known him, like, he used to hang around with another comedian that just all he does is answer questions on stage now. And he does Q&A with the audience. But I saw this guy one time at, I don't know, man, but I saw this fool. I saw this fool chilling all sad one time. Dude. I think you have broken up with that guy, right? The guy who took you under his wing.
Oh, that's right.
Your version of, what's his name? The guy I hung out with. It's funny. Do you feel like that, that coming up with a young comic, do you feel like you were so green and so eager to be accepted with all these con artists?
Yeah.
Because that's what comedians are, man.
Nah, well, hey.
Con artists who make people laugh. Because we really got to be a con artist, bro, to be a comedian, man. You got to have a scam, you know, something, right? You got to have something up your sleeve. Like the FedEx guy that delivers my FedEx packages here in my house, I used to do comedy with this guy. This guy told me $60.
Dude, that's what that one fool said. said about that other fool. Hey, bro, he reminds me of a sleazy car salesman, bro. That's what you gotta be, though, dog.
Nah. You gotta be like, some comedians are real sleazy. Like, they're like, they'll do anything to get in your car and take them to the next level.
Yeah, man. Well, you know what? What it was, it's like when you start off, you're just happy that someone is giving you stage time. So you hang out with that person, you know? Like, you look up to them. And then you start getting funnier.
I heard, bro, that you used to babysit for this guy, bro. For real, dog. No
hell
shit.
Yeah, man.
I'm honest. I drove a guy's car, lied to his wife about him just to blend in, bro. But I heard you fucking babysat an infant, bro.
Whoa, yeah, man. They used to give me pizza money, man.
That's fucking crazy, dog. I would never leave my baby with a young comic. What is he? What is his fucking baby? Pauly Shore? That's like Mitzi Shore leaving Pauly Shore with Richard Pryor. I heard you had it good because you didn't have to cut this guy's grass.
Oh man, hey, look, man, trust me. I was there when a certain comedian called this one comedian and asked, "Hey, man. If you want, man, whenever you want, I'll mow your lawn, man. Just help me out." And then when we hung up, he goes, "Why don't you do that?" And I'm like, "Man, because I don't want to be on anybody's nuts like that, you know? I want to
come on, man. I'm over here dressed up like Barney already, bro. I'm over here driving your son around a fucking Chuck E. Cheese, bro. I'm more of a dad than you are to your son." Yeah. But that's crazy, man. I didn't know that, man. There's a lot of people listening. Damn. Mexicans be cutting lawns for stage time, bro. So this comedian cut lawns to get stage time. Wow, that's crazy. I'm trying to think what I did, you know, to get in. Nah, man, I just drove this fool around.
Wow, man. Yeah, I never really did that, and I think that's the reason a lot of people get mad, because you're not that brown noser type guy, you know? Like, people love a brown noser, man. You know what I mean? Every guy has a damn brown noser that's just, like, behind them, dude. So that's how comedy is, man. It's just the guy that takes advantage of the brown nosers. You know what I mean? That's how it is. Like, and as a young comic, I felt like after a while, when you get funnier than the guys you're around, they start acting different, and they start making you feel like you don't belong here anymore, right? Like,
I know you're over there walking around with a diaper bag and shit. You're over there walking around with a diaper bag, bro, oh, with a set man. List.
Oh. About
wah. Talking about wah.
They call me the mommy comic.
How old were you, man, when you were babysitting this comedian's
dude,
baby, bro?
I think, man, at that point, I was about, like, 19, turning into a young adult.
Did that, like, blow your mind, bro? What the fuck? I'm babysitting
man,
right now.
Man, you know what? I was thinking, hey, man, that guy's performing over there, and I'm over here watching Disney Channel right here. Like, I was really hungry about, you know, but some people keep you on lock, man. It was like he had me on lock. Like, hey, you're funny. Yeah, man. But let me go perform. You don't have to shine right now.
What's up with that hat?
For real, it's like, it's funny how you say that. The comedian keep you on lockdown. Because I remember this comedian, he told Gabriel Iglesias that not to go to the Laugh Factory yet because he's not ready.
Wow.
And I said, not ready? Gabriel Iglesias getting standing ovations everywhere he fucking goes.
That's right.
You know, this is like early comedy. Like, this is when Iglesias was doing comedy 2 years. And this fool said, nah, bro, don't go to the Laugh Factory yet. It's weird how they do that to you.
You know, hey, man, there's this one Christian comedian. I did a show with him in Arizona. And he sent his
word. What up, man? Hallelujah.
Amen. Hold in the on, house man. Of God.
Hold on, man. It's funny when a Christian joke, he don't steal your jokes there. He blesses himself with it.
Share with thy neighbor.
So you work with a Christian comedian?
Yeah, and then he sent his wife to go tell my girlfriend that I shouldn't expect to get paid as much as I think. And then they ended up shorting me money, right? And then, like, that same guy, while I was performing and they weren't backstage, they were telling her, hey, well, make sure that that Juan doesn't go over there and talk to Fluffy because he probably doesn't want to burn bridges. And then I'm thinking to myself, like, why wouldn't I? You know what I mean? Like, if you get to network with people that, that could help you, like, why? So, obviously, there's people behind the scenes that aren't doing anything trying to stop you from getting the next thing. You
but
know?
What happened to the guy who's shorting you, though?
Well, it was the same guy.
Oh.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, this dude did two foul things in one show, and you're supposed to be...
Maybe they didn't like the way you babysat their kid, bro.
No, this is a different individual, man. Oh. You know him. He lives over there in Visalia.
Oh, okay.
Remember him? He does the Masa joke.
Oh, yeah. I know who that is. Yeah.
Exactly, dude. Hey, there's comics out there, man, that have these gimmicks, man, and then they think it's going to catch on, but it just never did, man. I'm sorry. It's been 12 years, and it just never caught on. I'm sorry. Even in that last performance.
How long have you been doing comedy now?
Me? 12 years.
So you started when you were 60. Are you 28 now?
No, I'm 29.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, you're getting up there.
Yeah, man. Like, it was a long process, of course, because, look, man, you want to hear a funny story?
Process? I think it's still processing.
No, yeah. No, but what I mean is back then I used to think that I was funny, right? But... obviously, I wasn't, because as I started getting better, I realized that my old material sucked. But when I started doing comedy, I watched that movie Foolish with Eddie Griffin, and I stole all his jokes and did them at school, and people laughed. And then later on, like 2 weeks later, one of these kids goes, "Hey, Juan, man, they did a movie about all your jokes, man." And then that's when I stopped fucking stealing jokes. I was like,
damn.
Never again. Yeah.
You were in third grade? Mm.
Watch out there now.
Yeah, man. But
besides
that's...
babysitting, though, what else that you did that was kind of outrageous for you, like, to...
From that individual?
Yeah, anybody.
Well, one time, man, I spent the night, and before we went to sleep, that same individual that I babysat for, I was falling asleep in the couch.
Were you still going to suck your dick?
No, look, hey, man, this is... No. So what happened is he goes, "Hey, man, no, you know you were better than me when I was 15, dog."
What? He was threatened by you?
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I don't know.
I think maybe his son was calling you daddy already. Daddy Chepo.
That's funny. But, hey, man, you do what you got to do, and I've made it this far, you know? Like,
when you were babysitting that dude's kid, did you ever pick up and go, "You're the devil"? I want stage time.
Nah, man.
You didn't try to do it yourself for the baby or something? Did you ever, like, when you were babysitting, flip off the other comedian that fucking... Man, you were like the house nigga, huh?
Oh, my God. Cause, yeah.
Because the other fool... Because the other guy was over there... in the sun,
in the
cutting the grass, you know, eating refried beans, all cold.
Yeah, I was the Uncle Tom comedian, man. I was inside the house, you know. Like, so, I mean, you know what, man? Like, I look back at that and I go to my, and I think to myself, you know, you'll do certain things to blow up.
Dog, I know.
But, yeah, man. But
wow.
But it's not necessary, man. If you work hard and you just practice your comedy, you will get somewhere rather than doing the unnecessary things for other comics that just are looking for that, you know?
So, how old was this baby?
I mean, it wasn't just one kid. It was like three kids.
Damn, son. Damn, son.
Well, yeah.
Damn.
That's more details to the story, man. Yeah.
So, I remember, man, like, getting back to kidnapping people, man. And that's the reason you're here, man. Yeah. Wow, man. Because I always wanted to ask you. Yeah, and I remember we started hanging out because we were playing Madden at some guy's house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember this guy because he wasn't hanging around with Avengers and babysitting no more.
That's when I had moved on already.
Yeah, man. He wasn't hanging around with he was too old to babysit now. I think he was 21 when I met you.
That's right.
And I forgot where we were at, bro. But I was trying to get you to. I was drinking that back then. So tell me about that time, man, that we went to this house and we went with a bunch of comedians and we performed at this house. Uh-huh. And there was a guy there named Doug. And
damn.
If you clean the house, you get Dougie points.
Well, hey, yeah, man, check this out.
But you, But this time, you were just there for the show, man. You weren't there to do no coke.
Nothing.
You weren't there to hook up with no chicks. So this guy is just a comedian, man. He's there to do 10-minute show, 2:30 in the morning. Rodrigo, you were there too, right?
Yeah. This guy fell asleep in the couch, man.
Me and we call him Silent Bob. Rodrigo told him, no matter where he's at, this fool can find a nice spot to crash out for 15 minutes while the main guy's talking.
Yeah, man. I remember that party. We had performed at Wild Coyotes at the time when it was going on. And then someone had invited us. You guys were doing a show like at a house in the hills, right? And then we went after the show. And then we showed up. You guys performed. Like, I got offered weed. I got offered cocaine. And then I was like, no, I'm good, man. But there was this guy named Doug. Like, after a while, everybody left. It was like 4 a.m. The sun was coming out, right? But this guy had everything covered. Like, he didn't like any light going into his house. Yeah, like, it was just like a can. Like, it was just closed. There was no light that came through. He even had a back house called the 666 house. Remember that?
Wanted you with the fucking metal detector. Like, it was legit, fool.
Yeah, man. And then we stayed there till about, like, noon the next day.
Fuck, it burns, dog.
Yeah, man. I went into the bathroom, and this chick that looked like a damn vampire came out pale. She was pale, man. Like, tile. Like, white tile, pale. And then, like, I went in there, and this guy had a sign, right? Like, if you threw the toilet paper inside the toilet, you got Dougie points. So I came out, and then I told them, hey, man, well, I threw the toilet paper, man, inside the toilet. And he's all, man, you got a lot of Dougie points for that, man. And then these guys were, like, right there partying it up. We were asleep, man.
Dougie points, the guy that owned the house, he let some guy that been partying since heavy metal days with rock stars, man. And now he's partying with comics on the Laugh Factory and a lot of actors, wannabe actors. And we realized after everybody was gone that if you help clean up the house, he'll give you Dougie points. And if you get enough Dougie points, that means that nobody's going to text you or you're going to get invited to the next party at that house, but he's going to call you. Like, you're not going to get a random text, hey, come to the party in the hills. Dougie is gonna actually call you and go, "Hey man, what's up, babe? You were pretty cool at the last party. Hey, come over."
You accumulated enough Dougie points.
So you're at this party, but you don't party. What the hell are you still doing there?
Oh man, you know what? I was just kidnapped. I didn't have a car at the time. I couldn't walk. It was too far, right? So I mean, I was forced to stay there and just go through it all, through the whole process, man. I saw everybody come. I saw everybody leave. And it was just me, you, and that guy Dougie, and
what was the inside like?
It was just really dark. Like, the guy didn't like light.
Like, we got through with a lot of people though.
Yeah, it was really packed. It was one of those performances where people weren't really listening because they were more coked out than anything. But the guy didn't like any light. Like, it was just like they were a bunch of vampires, man. That's what it felt like Twilight or something.
It's funny, like. Like, if I was partying as soon as I got there, and like there was like squeeze bottles full of coke. I don't know if you tried it.
No, they had them on the nasal sprays.
Yeah, with nasal spray full of coke and water. And I remember somebody passed me one, and I said, "Oh yeah." So it was like perfect with like coke and water, and they were hitting all over the room, man. And at the end of the night, Dougie told me that because I earned enough Dougie points. He showed me a suitcase where he keeps all the nasal sprays, and he gave me one.
Wow.
And I took it home with me.
That's cool, man. Yeah, those were the days, man. I mean, like comedy, you just see a lot of crazy shit, man. Like, I remember, do you remember that one time, man, where we did that show in El Centro? And it was me, you, and some comedian named Sherms and Richard Chang. And we met that paisa guy that had drugs. And he hung out with us all night. And after a while, he charged us. He's all, "You owe me $100. You owe me $100.
Oh, yeah.
You owe me $100.
That was trippy, bro.
That fool Richard Chang tells a mean story about that.
No,
dude, it really happened. What happened like this, dog? Like, I get to We get to the gig. It was for Papi Chulo, right?
That's right.
And I'm already fucked up, right? I'm already fucked up from the night before. I'm there with no sleep, bro. Right? I've been doing pills. I've been doing all kinds of nasty shit, right? And we get there, and I want to party, right? And I remember the show's awesome. The show was killer, dog. And it was something amazing. They loved the show. And at the end of the night, I started drinking already, and I saw this crazy fool that I was banging on the whole night. And that fool had a fucking a meth pipe. And I smoked some in the bathroom with him. And fuck it, that shit. Put it this way, man. I hung out with him the whole night. And then that's when we met these fools. So go on your version.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, I had a bad feeling about that paisa guy, right? Because, yeah, it was, man. Like, and so me and Sherms went back to the hotel and we fell asleep. They came back hours later. It was like, yeah, it was him, Felipe, some guy named Ramiro, that we used to follow them all the time.
Oh, right? Such a gangster, man, because you don't know who's a drug dealer over there, man.
Yeah, man, because it's so close to the border. It's like near Mexicali, so there you have it. Like,
City, like, in the From Dusk Till Dawn and shit looking.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, El Centro is like the wetback version of Palm Springs, bro.
That's right.
Like, it's like Palm Springs without old people and gay people.
And dirt. And that's
it's
it.
Dirt, man, but it's a good place to go, man.
Yeah, and so what happened is we go back to our hotel because I didn't have a good feeling about that guy. So, and then, like, about, like, at 2 a.m., like, we just hear a bang at the door. Bang, 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 bang. And we wake up. And then they keep walking and they're laughing. And then we go to the room with you guys. And this fool was so loaded that he grabbed the fucking cord from the television in the bag that's connected to the cable box. Because that guy wouldn't stop talking. And Felipe started doing a news, dog. Like, dude, this fool was like, I'm going to kill this fool, dog.
The first thing he's like, you know Felipe Esparza? You? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, man, I got a crazy story about him, man.
Oh, that Richard Jackson telling a story? No. This fool said I started making a news.
Dude, the dude wouldn't stop talking, dog.
Nah, he wouldn't go talking, bro, and then they giving me a fucking hit in 2 hours, bro. I'm getting mad, dog.
No, hey.
He said like this, dude. Oh, my God.
Go ahead, bro.
So the story. This is that story. So anyway, we were in the room. And Felipe was outside, and he kept coming in. Hey, man, is my wallet here? All right, cool. Hey, man, is my wallet in here?
Yeah, because that guy left his wallet, his phone with us over and over because he was wearing sweats. He didn't want it to lose it.
Yeah, that's right. And then, like, this fool kept coming into the room asking if his wallet was in there. And then, like, you were like, yeah, yeah, it's in there. And then that's when, at the end, like, I guess this fool was so loaded and paranoid. He had lost his phone at another guy's house. That's where you guys came from. You guys came from another guy's house, and you kicked it there.
Oh, I think it was a jacuzzi.
That's right. And you left your phone at that fool's house, but you're so paranoid that you thought that paisa stole your phone. So you're like, fuck this fool, dog.
So I thought that paisa stole my phone, bro. I was getting angry, bro. Because that fool was all tweaking, and I wasn't tweaking, bro. I was getting angry at him, bro. I swear to God, dog, I never remember, bro. I said, man, let's just kill this guy, dog.
No, serious.
That's what he said.
Yeah, that's.
He's like, what the fuck?
And that's when this fool busted out that cord, and he just started grabbing it from the ends. God, I want to kill this fool, dog. This one doesn't stop talking. He needs to shut the fuck up. So then, dude, and then this fool. What he did is Felipe, you grabbed that dude's phone because you're like, no, that fool stole my phone. And you took it, and the next morning, we took off quick because we thought he was going to come back. And we got to this casino, and that fool just kept calling and calling and calling and calling and calling and calling. I swear to God.
I never give my phone number away, dog.
Straight,
I don't give my phone number to nobody, dog. Shit, I give my phone number to the guy next to me. That fool was blowing up our phone, dog. You know what happened? What happened with this crazy paisa fucking meth head? Remember? We tried to get rid of him. Yeah, go get some beers. Who wants to go with me? Everything we tried, dude, that fool kept talking, dude, dog. And he didn't want to give me no bump. I was getting mad, dog.
When that fool wouldn't stop talking, y'all shut the fuck up,
dude. It was crazy, man. And then the meanwhile, while he was doing that, that Richard Chang and that dude Ramiro were trying to fall asleep, and all this shit is happening. So we leave. We get to a casino, and this fool has fed up already with the calls because this guy had the Paisa cell phone. So the dude kept calling his phone and calling for like an hour until that casino. We finally got out the call. He's like, no one's going to fucking call anymore. Boom. This fool broke the phone, dog. And then like 2 days later, this guy finds out that he ended up leaving his phone at that guy, some guy, Johnny's house. But he thought that they had stolen it from him, right?
Send it back to you?
Yeah.
That fool wouldn't shut the fuck up. I was getting angry, bro.
Man, I can't believe he charged you. He's trying to charge you because you guys all owe me $100.
Oh, yeah. Well, oh, yeah, man. That's when we were partying. And then, like, because I had given him some cash to go get more, but he never got none. And then, remember, he was hitting that shit and not giving me none. And I was just getting mad, like... I was just mad dogging that fool, right? I would have kicked him in the face. But, yeah, remember, I think he looked at you guys and he said that, yeah, man, this shit costs money. And he started taxing everybody, bro.
Yeah, he wanted... He
what how much he wanted from, how much money he wanted from you?
No, he wanted $100 from every one of us, and it was like five of us. And he wanted $100 because he escorted us through El Centro or whatever. Like, and he was trying to charge us for his time. That yeah, man. That guy was crazy, man. Like I didn't get a good feeling from that guy from the get go.
Shit,
man.
I'd rather be babysitting.
Nah, but you know what? I mean, babysitting never got me as much memories as this kidnapping shit. You know what I mean? Like all this stuff that happened with Felipe. Like I remember because it's something that that later on it's funny because we all went through it and we were. And now it's a joke because when the shit was happening, obviously it was scary. You know what I mean?
You said that Richard Chang told you the story. What did he say?
No, something about like, dude, that like what happened right there, but that the guy wouldn't stop talking and he was making some noise. All right, dog, it's time to shut the fuck up, dog. And he would, and then that's when you couldn't take it no more, and you went behind the TV and just ripped the cord and just started, and you were like snapping the cord like a belch.
I was so gone.
And then that's when you made it to fucking news. You know, we're going to kill this fucking guy. Get ready, dog. And then that fool's all, fuck, what did I get myself into? But then I guess at that other fool's house, before you guys got to the hotel, that you just got all crazy. He's all, dude, Felipe took off all his clothes and he jumped in the pool or some shit like that, dog.
No, Richard Chang was in I'm hanging out with his crazy paisa. Uh-huh. And Richard Chang, Ramiro and them, and Sherms, they were in a swimming pool with this guy's whole family, bro. Like Richard Chang, like with his glasses, no T-shirt, swimming in a pool with his guy's family, like nothing, dog.
Yeah, and then that's all I just remember that right now when Chepo was talking, dude.
That Richard Chang probably thought he would have a nice swimming story, bro.
But yeah, he was all like, it was super crazy like that. He's like, yeah, man, I thought Felipe was gonna kill the guy.
Nah, man, yeah, it was an intense.
That's crazy because I don't remember that. I don't remember that vividly like that, but goddamn, I guess. If I can really remember right now, he was standing by the door, and he didn't want to let us leave, bro, too.
Yeah, like, that's right.
Like he was going to charge the first dude. This is for you. He was going to charge the first fool to, like, it was like King of the Mountain almost, playing that game when you were a kid, King of the Hill.
He knew that we had made money, and obviously, no, he knew we made money, so obviously he knew we had it. So he was just trying to find an excuse to get more money to buy drugs. So he was, like, using us because, like, Felipe was giving up money for everything. So obviously he saw that. So he probably thought we all had something. You know what I mean? So he just kind of got attached to the situation too much. Like
I think the whole night, man, I was just rolling with this fool, man. He was driving that truck all crazy, bro, like all over El Centro. That's when he was partying and shit before he got tight.
Until like he stopped and started getting sober, but the key word is he tried to tax you guys, no, yeah. But it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's what pretty much happened. Like it's just funny how it worked out into our favor. Like it didn't lead to anything ugly. He probably thought that we weren't going to stand up for ourselves, maybe, but But it didn't happen. Like, cause I was afraid. Honestly, I was afraid. Like, while everything was happening, but then as I saw us leave and get away from that situation, I felt okay. It's better as long as this fool doesn't find us halfway down the road. You know, like Dumb and Dumber. You know, like with sea bass and shit.
How did we get away from him? I forgot. I go blank. Like, I just remember we were in a car. How do we get away from that dude?
I forgot. He went to go do something. I think it's what you said. You went. You told him to go get beer, and then that's when
he left his wallet behind, or what?
No, you had got his phone.
How?
Because he left it in the room when you kept coming into the room, his phone was inside. So you were still thinking that he had stolen your phone, so you took his, and then kept it. But he went to go buy beer because you told him to go, and that's when he wanted one of us to go with him. So we're like, nah, we'll wait for you. And while he went to go get beer, we took off and made it to the casino. But after he figured that we had left, he kept calling us because he knew you had his phone. And it was just a scary situation, man, up until we got to Los Angeles. And I think even Richard Chang tried to stay away from me after a while. Like,
I don't think I ever saw Richard Chang again, bro. But that happened one time. But you and I still kicked it tough, huh? After that,
like,
that was nothing happened. But that was, wow, that must have been scary, huh?
You know, I remember.
I don't think I grabbed his phone, though. I think when we ended up being there, I already had his phone. But I don't think I snuck out and grabbed it.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe he told me to hold it, but I don't want to leave it behind. I don't know.
Yeah, but.
Well, I'm glad that guy's locked up, man. And hopefully he's not listening to us. Hopefully he's listening to Art LeBeau right now. And
yeah. Well, this is how I met Felipe. It was at that place, Casa Latina, and they were filming this comedian's VH1 Behind the Comedy. And the producer was there. The producer was there, and he was like, okay, everybody, so who's the best Latino comedian out there? And then you just hear from the back, Gabriel Iglesias, fool. And then that's how I met Felipe, man.
I yelled out. I was all pissed off because they had canceled the gig on me. And he goes, you got ready for your best comedian. And I yelled out, get who? Gabriel Iglesias?
Yeah, man. And it totally killed the mood. And that's how I met Felipe. Like, I met Felipe just bagging on people, man. Like, Felipe would show up and people would just start getting bagged on, like, right away. And that's when Rodrigo and Alfred used to hang around with you. And then after a while, like, you know, we started seeing each other more. I started hanging out with Felipe a lot, like, it wasn't so much a kidnapping. I volunteered myself into this lifestyle.
he get kidnapped. He volunteered to drive his mom's Jeep.
That's right.
Ain't so no. I took you one time to, man, you know, it's crazy. Like, did you ever think back, like, when you're watching Gangland and go, fuck, I've been to that neighborhood.
Dude, I remember that one night, man. It was after Wild Coyotes.
Go in detail, bro. Dude, like, break it down.
Oh, look,
bro.
Hey, man, listen. This is when you were probably like in the worst position of your career, and you were like sad. You were sad. It was a bad moment for you, and like everybody was like not believing in you, and it was just a bad situation. You know what I mean? And what happened is we ended up hanging out, and I took you to this ghetto-ass fucking place where there's gang members and...
It was like a parking apartment lot, right? Like an apartment building?
Yeah, like, and we were hanging out, and it was like 2 or 3 in the morning, and...
Where was it at? What neighborhood?
I think it was, like, in Highland Park, but it was really bad, and, like... And see, at the time, you don't think about it, of how dangerous it is, but then once you get out, like, then you realize, but... You know what? I don't know if you remember that one time after Wild Coyotes... You had sold your CD to some gang members, right? And then I don't know why the fuck you would fucking tell these gang members, you guys are fucking small time, dog. And this fool ran into my mom's Jeep, and I reversed and took off. And then I was like, all right, we're good. And then you just see some headlights. Dude, it was on Beverly Boulevard, like going towards Montebello Boulevard.
The cholo who were chasing them.
Yeah, they were chasing us in their Suburban.
Right after this fool sold him his CD.
Dude, yeah, this fool sold them his CD.
Did they recognize him? How do you guys?
Well, look, what happened is, I guess this fool was trying to get money, and he went to go, hey, you guys want to buy this CD? And they bought it off this fool, right? Yeah, they bought it off this fool, but I don't know why this fool just goes. You guys are fucking small time, dog.
They probably have no drugs, dog.
Yeah, exactly. And then we took off because they were like, because they were talking, they were like, started talking shit, and then I'm like, get on. So I start driving, and those headlights pop out behind us.
Well, you said they crashed into you guys?
No, they were trying to, like, once they caught up to us, and we had...
Oh, your mom's Jeep, you were driving, right?
Yeah, I was driving, and then we made a right on Montebello Boulevard, and they made a right, and they got next to us, and they were swerving into my mom's truck.
Just you and this fool?
Yeah, just me and this fool. They were swerving into my mom's truck, but what I was doing is I was just kind of countering their swerve and going away from it, right?
Getaway driver now.
Yeah, man.
Just no. Came from babysitting to getaway driver, man.
Man, no. This was more fun than babysitting, man. So anyway, they got next to us.
You were 19 probably, or 20?
No,
or
I was like in my early 20s when I was already hanging around with Felipe. And so what they did is they got next to us. And then they're trying to get to this fool, and one of the guys is stretching his hand out from
what
the,
we're
like,
driving.
From the driver's seat, they got next to us. You know, I want to talk to you, dog. Come here.
Fuck.
Yeah, and it was funny, man, because. It was funny because...
What was I doing? I don't remember.
Like, you were just
kind of
like backing up a little bit, hoping this wouldn't grab you. And then finally, like, the guy goes, pull over, dog. And I was terrified. And then he said it like about a third time, pull over, dog. And finally something happened. Like, I got brave and I was like, then fucking pull over, motherfucker. Like, something happened. I don't know what it was, but they pulled over. We pulled over behind them. We sat there for like about 30 seconds and they took off. And then we took off. And like halfway to this fool's house, Felipe goes, you fucking passed, dog.
You passed the test, dog.
Yeah. And then I dropped this fool off at his house, at his old house, on right there on Boylston, remember? Like by that high school.
Yeah.
I dropped this guy off, and then I went home. You know? And then when I got home, my mom was like, hey, Chepo, do you know Felipe? And then I'm like, yeah, why, mom? Oh, no, he just called. And I'm like, what'd he say? No, senora, your son has a lot of heart. Yeah, man. That was.
I called your mom and I told her you have a lot of heart?
Yeah, when I got home, she gave me the message like, hey, Felipe called and said you have a lot of heart. And then I was like, whoa. Remember, man, when we used to hang out and smoke blunts and go to that Starbucks right there? And then that's when I was doing the Teens of Comedy tour and I had money. And this
Yeah, fool, $2.
Yeah, and this fool asked me to buy him a coffee. And then I didn't buy it for him. And he got mad. Like, he didn't kick it with me for, like a year. And then finally I seen him later. He's all, you know what? The reason I stopped talking to you is because you didn't buy me a coffee at my Starbucks. And then I was like, whoa.
You're a cheap-ass food dog.
Cheapo, remember that.
You're cheapo.
Nah, but, hey, man. Wait, remember that one time, fool, that we were chilling at the Starbucks before that incident happened, and your son's mom called private, and you were trying to ignore her for like months, dog. You didn't want to fucking answer the phone, and I was so high that I answered the phone, and it ended up being his baby's mom, fool. And then like she's like, Felipe, I need money. And then this fool got fucking mad at me, dog. This fool didn't talk to me for another 3 years and shit. Dude, I remember that shit, man. But you know what? I mean, those are the memories that you remember as a comedian. And you just kind of go, man, that's a true comedy friend because you went through that. You know what I mean? Some people try to change their lives. Oh, I'm not like that. You know, I'm clean now, but. I mean, those are the funnest times, you know what I mean? Like, you quit that at one point, but at some point, you had a lot of fun doing it, you know?
Who started wearing shorts on stage first? You or Gabriel Iglesias?
I think him, man. Oh, man.
Call me short.
Oh, remember when we did that show in San Francisco? And the guy that featured for you, like, you took me with you, and you're like, hey, man, I'll give you $50.
Did I kidnap you over there, too?
Yeah, you were headlining like a few shows in San Jose, and then we went to San Francisco, and remember the guy that was featuring for you at the time?
No.
What's his name? Lloyd Christmas.
Oh yeah, remember? Christmas.
Yeah, he was featuring for you, and we did the show in San Jose, and then we went to San Francisco, and then I guess he had driven, and I guess he was so happy that he did three spots in one night that he got all fucked up and couldn't drive back home. Remember?
Yeah.
So he had me drive, and I drank an espresso shot, and I fucking got a speeding ticket. Dude,
I remember, I
was doing
like 80. I was fucked up. I don't know if I was fucked up, but I couldn't drive. I was fucked up. I couldn't drive. It was when I was working with this guy, man, and Andy Kern, this cheap motherfucker, right? And this fool started driving us home from San Francisco to Los Angeles, and he's driving on the. On that highway by Chumash Casino? No. By Las Frutas Road. And this fool gets caught for speeding, dog. Yeah. This fool was standing on the foot pedal, bro. Going 86 miles an hour, bro.
How'd you get pegged? Were you fucking going wildly or what?
What happened is I adjusted the seat too close to the pedal. And then I was fucking on an espresso shot. So I was doing 81. And he pulled up behind us, and he pulled me over. And from that point, after I got the speeding ticket, what's his name started driving? Lloyd Christmas or whatever.
That fool was driving fast, but we got to the valley, like Ventura. Everybody fell asleep, even that fool, dog.
That's when all the traffic hits right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, like there was a lot of traffic. And then, no, but you know what we were doing after that? We were reading the newspaper when the Mongols had got busted, remember? And they were like, hey, we knew that guy. We saw that guy. Right? And then we're stuck in traffic, and me and this fool are reading that newspaper. And all of a sudden, the traffic moved, and we're not moving. And then I'm reading the newspaper, and all I see is Felipe elbow this fool. Wake up, dog. Fucking traffic's moving. And then that fool tried to blame me. Oh, well, your boy, if you would have driven. And then this fool goes, shut up, dog. He already got a speeding ticket. He's not fucking crying.
Your boy.
Oh, man. And that's when I didn't have a lot of money. So I had to pay a speeding ticket for someone who got drunk and fucking didn't want to take responsibility. You know what I'm saying? Like, I paid. I lost. I lost money this gig, fool. This fool said, hey, I'll pay you. You don't have to pay for nothing. And ended up getting a fucking speeding ticket, dog. This is one of those gigs where you lose money and shit.
You came out fucking negative, bro.
You broke even, dog.
Yeah. That shit was funny, man.
How much was a speeding ticket?
Dude, that shit was like $238. That fool didn't even ask me if he wanted to pay for half, bro.
You know what, motherfuckers are broke to be at? It's $238.
Damn, dog. Yeah, and it was one of the little small counties in California. So
I remember, dog.
Yeah, man.
How far, where'd he get you at?
I forgot where it was, but he got me at 81 miles per hour, man. I was just on some caffeine, and goddamn, 81 miles per hour, man. So he just popped out of nowhere, too. So, I
mean, so caffeine and you don't mix, huh?
They do not. I don't like coffee, man.
How come you babysat, bro?
Man, me either, man. I'm glad I'm where I'm at now, but all that shit was lame, man. It was really lame because sometimes, like, I remember when with the certain comedy club, instead of paying me to be a comedian, they would pay me to be a DJ. So, I mean, those are the type of things that I never want to go back to. Like, you know, like, I want to stay a comedian because I'm funny. And not because I helped out somebody or, like, trimmed their bushes, you know? I mean, or shined their shoes or carried their bags. Like, I want to earn it by being funny.
Or fucking being a getaway driver.
That's right. You know what I mean? Like, those were the funnest times of my career, man. Like, why do you think I remember those? Like, everything else is just kind of like a blur. But those moments where you remember or you had some type of fear, those are fun. Like, I remember at that place, Wild Coyotes, remember you guys started it and you were hosting? We did a show, and then I got heckled, but I handled the heckler well. And the comedian after me thought he could be as smooth as me. Yeah, man.
Who said smooth?
Yeah, man, because I handled the situation well, and he got heckled by some gang members in the back. And then we went outside to smoke, and then...
Who is this man with no name?
Oh, man. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want anybody getting hurt. But we went outside and we were smoking weed. And I guess the cholos he had talked shit to go, who's that fool talking shit, man? And that comedian goes, it was him. And he pointed at me. Yeah, and can you believe that this gang... And then, look, I stepped up to him, not because I wanted to fight him. I wanted to tell him, chill out, dude. It was just comedy. While I did that, his friend goes, back up. He's got a gun. So I got in my car, and I'm about to start driving. I look to my right, and that comedian that threw the cholo at me goes, I think we better get out of here. And then I took off. But can you believe that that gang member followed me to three other shows just to see if I still wanted beef with him?
Wow, man.
Yeah, he followed me from Wild Coyotes.
Your first fan, bro.
Man.
That was his way of saying, his way of being hard and your fan.
Trust me, man. That was another memorable thing about Wild Coyotes. Remember that, fool? Like, I mean, you were there. I mean, it was like a biker gang hangout. You remember
Wild Coyote was a biker gang and cholo hangout.
Oh, man.
By cholo, there was one cholo.
Yeah, man. And you know what? These rooms, I don't think any new comedian that's out right now would have ever survived these rooms. Because from Wild Coyotes, you got a lot of good names. You got Gabriel. You got Felipe. You got Willie. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So what I mean is these rooms prepared you, but it was like a biker hangout. Where a lot of crazy stuff happened.
And I don't know.
Hey, bro, tell me that one time. Tell that story, dog, where that one time you had to cancel Martin Moreno from that gig,
that's
dog.
Right. Coming up next, right now, dog.
Martin Moreno, man, is our friend of ours. You know what, Raza? Man. By the way, if you guys know Martin Moreno, he's Gabriel Iglesias opening his host, his man, his dog.
His right-hand man.
Right-hand man. A good, he's crazy.
He's a good dude.
Martinez Moreno's crazy, bro. That's how crazy. I don't know if you want this story out there, but Martin Moreno one time told me that he was buying condoms to put on a fucking dildo, bro, because he was going to try it on a different girl. Whoa. And he didn't want to infect her.
You got to go get the dildo tested.
Martin told me that. You said, Rodrigo, you know Martin when he got canceled?
Oh, no. I remember coming back to the Wild Coyote and shit the next day just fuming about that shit. That fool was pissed.
He was mad, dog. He wanted the $40.
It came out of nowhere, dog.
So what happened, bro?
No, so what happened is at that time, the original host had quit. And that's when I was around. And one day they asked me, hey, well, you're going to help the promoter book the room. And you know what? Martin Moreno always told me that I was funny. Always, you know, like he always... Like told me good things, fool. So when they told me book the room, I was like, well, I'm gonna book people that I feel that believe in me, right? So I booked them, and then before the show, that guy would call me and be like, hey man, so who'd you book? And I was like, oh, I booked so and so, and Martin Moreno. Nah, you gotta cancel them. And then I'm like, hey, man, but I can't.
The show's about to start.
Yeah, no. You got to cancel him, man.
He's here, though.
Yeah, and then, yeah, that's what I said. He's already here. No, cancel him. I don't want him, right? So, dude, I had to call. I couldn't even go tell Martin in his face because I was so embarrassed. And I called him. I was, like, on the other – he was in the parking lot. I was on the other side of the venue. And I called him, hey, Martin, man, I have to cancel you. You know, we overbooked it. And then – and it was bad for me. And then, you know what? I'm sure that he got mad, but it wasn't really my fault because I was young and I was being manipulated by this. You know what I mean? I was being manipulated. So Martin Moreno hosted Wild Coyotes for you like maybe 3 weeks in a row.
Wild Coyote in Montebello.
Yeah. You had booked them to host, and he gave me the gig. He called me, hey, man, you know, I have a gig for you. And I was like, okay. And then before the gig, he canceled me. And then, like, that was his way of doing it back to me. I mean, for real, like, now that I'm older, I didn't think that was a good move. I just did it because they told me to and not because I didn't like them. When you run with people like that, like, that don't like another person, they try to act like, oh, you can't talk to them either, man.
So where can people find you at, man?
Well, I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/trulycomedy84. You can find me on Instagram, Truly Comedy, but instead of the Y, it's two Ds, C-O-M-E-D-E-E, 84. And you can find me on twitter.com/trulycomedy84 also. And I also have a website. It's called trulycomedy.com.
You can babysit for you guys. You guys need a babysitter.
That's right, man. I got a degree in child development.
So you also, if you guys want to catch Chepo, he can catch him, man. This guy plays basketball every Sunday at Venice Beach.
Saturdays.
Check him out, man.
If anybody ever wants to challenge me for $10, bring it on. I'm at Venice, and we'll play, and we'll see what happens, man.
We're also here with Rodrigo Torres, ladies and gentlemen, Hater TV.
Hell yeah, man. Catch me on Twitter at Rodrigo Torres Jr. Catch me on Instagram at Rodrigo Torres Jr. And catch me on Facebook at Rod Torres Jr.
Yeah, man.
That's right.
Okay, where am I going to be at? Okay, April 18 and 19 at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. May 2nd through the 4th, I'll be at the Tempe Improv in Arizona. May 8th, Albuquerque, New Mexico at Santa Ana Star Casino. May 9th, Tucson, Arizona, Rialto Theater. May 15th through the 17th, Victoria, Texas at Golden Gecko. May 22nd through the 25th, Orlando Improv. Where are you going to be at next?
I'm going to be performing at the Surf City Comedy Club that comedian Bob Perkel.
Bob Perkel. Remember him? Remember Bob Perkel?
He did a lot of drugs, too.
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, he's opened up his own comedy club. I'll be there in April.
Surfside, what city is that?
Newport Beach.
Okay, Surfside. Oh, that lady. Yeah, Bob Perkel, old school.
Yeah, so.
All right, man.
All right.
All right, fool. Thank you. Felipe Esparza, what's up, fool? Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Peace.
Peace.